Thank you. I will present the preliminary results of an initiative that we launched about a year ago or so within the ACMIP project. And some of you are probably very well familiar with this agricultural model intercomparison, improvement and intercomparison is led by Columbia University, University of Florida and USDA, Jim Jones, Cynthia Rosenzweig, Jerry Atfield, and then we have different components within it, you know, the crops, the uncertainties, and I didn't want to put a slide up here just because there were so many other meetings, but just because we realized the importance of soil in climate change is really, really important and the key. Last year we decided to run simulations where the models were ran with a continuous mode and not reinitialized. So, brief introduction, I would like to acknowledge all the co-authors that have contributed in different ways, obviously producing the data and with intellectual, you know, discussions and so on towards this this initiative. So one of the reasons I really pushed towards that is because crop models, as you probably are very familiar with, have been extensively tested for yields. And I personally ran with one of my graduate students, Lin Yu, an extended review on mainly just the model that we thought was a little bit more you know, widely adopted. And we found, we reported 230 papers of comparison. They had to have measured data with simulated. And unfortunately, only two dealt with carbon, 22 with water balance, and 13 with nitrogen. Just showing that despite the fact the model was very well tested, but not necessarily for soil properties. That's the distribution of that study where the different papers were so pretty widely adopted. And the interesting thing is that, as you see, yield is by far the most tested, where everyone, you know, measured different yield results and components, and so only basically 10 papers dealt with soil nitrogen and some with plant nitrogen. It was necessary, I think, to move AgMIP in the direction of a continuous transfer. So what I just wanted to put a few thoughts on my own, that I think the initialization is obviously a valid approach if you're only interested in, you know, learning the impact of climate you know, the seasonal impact without necessarily continuing the analysis of carryover effects. So that's why most of the papers, basically there was another paper that reported 95% of the paper dealing with climate change had a reinitialized approach. So at the beginning of the season, they reinitialized with the same conditions. And so we think that obviously was important to get into this initiative and to quantify the carryover effects, what is left from one year to the next. Another important aspect is that when we deal with carbon and then the release, you know, mineralization, release of nitrogen, it is crucial to identify the proper sizes of the different salt carbon pools, and so which highly depended on you know, the land use. So the I actually worked on a paper that delivers that type of help in characterizing the sizes of the three carbon pools as function of soil type. And the fact that we need to account for management plays a big role. As you know, yield is not just genetic, but there is environment, and the M just plays a bigger role all the time, because you know that can be driven by different treatments. Like, you know, you can have different tillage, residues management, which impacts significantly, you know, the soil properties. And ideally, this model, Salus, has a routine that basically feeds back the changes that over time you are implementing on the soil biophysical properties to change some of the physical properties, water holding capacity and so on. And then the assumption on initial conditions and exploitable rooting depth, obviously it's a big guess, and and that creates, you know, problems. So in another study that we just submitted, we wanted to show, you know, the impact of running a model for climate change versus a reinitialized type of approach. And obviously, if you reinitialize, you have a flat line versus, depending on when you reinitialize, could be beginning. Some people use pretty conventional type, you know, beginning of the year, or some, before planting, assuming, DUL capacity and so on. So you see the large variability of how much water, extractable water, was available at the beginning of the season. So that's a significant impact versus, you know, the straight line that will bring. So you would physically add more water, or some places you would take water out from the system that in reality has different water content. So the objective of this work was to assess crop model interannual variability when we simulated long-term soil carbon, nitrogen, soil water dynamics. And we used the results of two pilot studies. So in this particular case, we had, in terms of rotation, it did not include another crop, but it was maize fallow and then wheat fallow crop rotation under different management strategies. So the participating models kind of were split a bit between the maize and the wheat, but overall a total number of 8 apps in this, and Monica and Wheat, South 6, another German model, SPI and Ecosys. So the variables that were reported running, again, not a reinitialized approach, but a continuous run, was biomass, phenological antithesis and maturity, the dates, yield, maximum leaf index, soil organic carbon and nitrogen for the two layers, inorganic can, nitrate leach. So a very vast amount of information that obviously I cannot present here. So I'll just select a few or some of these slides, and we're working towards a possible publication of this preliminary work. So the factors, we had 4 sites, two maize and wheat, 4 each, that you'll see where they are located in a minute. Different temperature levels, 3 degrees cold, the baseline, plus 3, 6, and 9. 2 tillage system, no-till and conventional tillage. And then different level of CO2 increase, and then nitrogen minus 50 baseline and plus 50%. And then rain, a decrease of 30% and the baseline. So the sites for the maize were Brazil, France, Tanzania, and USA, and the wheat site were Argentina, Australia, India, and the Netherlands. So again, these are the runs that we have already published basically in different journals for the maize pilot and the wheat pilot. The plow layer as of the initial sort, organic carbon for each of the two crops, basically the maize and the wheat for different sites, had different initial, soil fertility level, just to give you a ballpark where we're starting with. Obviously US and Argentina and the Netherlands having a little bit higher content and lower for the other sites. So now I'll show a series of slides that unfortunately they may look a little bit similar among themselves, but as you see, this is for maize. There will always be the crop indicated, what we have. Conventional tillage, the 4 sites, different CO2 increase, 360, 540, and 720, under different temperature gradients. So there is a large, overall, the increase in temperature as you move from the green towards the red colors, decreased the soil carbon because of an excessive, increase in temperature increases soil carbon mineralization. So there is a decrease of soil carbon in the soil, and depending on the sites, that variability changed. They were pretty close to each other in some sites and spread out more in other sites, especially like in the US. But as temperature increased, then the models even, had a larger uncertainty, showing that, we really are not so confident about the very large temperature increase on some of these processes, whether it's yield or soil organic carbon. So to select a comparison of conventional tillage versus no tillage, for Brazil, very large, there is a model that basically pushes a little bit towards the very large uncertainties. And so even in this case, there is a decrease, but there is an increase in soil carbon if temperature stays at the baseline. It gets colder, but overall the message is soil carbon decreases as temperature increases and the variability gets larger. No-till does sequester more carbon, as you see, so that there was the message there that there is more carbon stored because of the residues retained and so on. The inorganic nitrogen is really a puzzling story because, as you see, there's just an amazing spread between the models, you know, the very large, variation for the U.S. side and where has temperature increases. So the temperature increases really just we lose confidence in the mineralization and the decomposition of soil organic matter by making these large uncertainties. But for the others, it did not affect very much the CO2. The CO2 did not have as much of an increase, but as temperature increased, the inorganic nitrogen left at the end of the season was significantly higher. No-till in Argentina, similar story, higher temperature decreases soil organic carbon. The models were very close both in Argentina and India with low uncertainties, but increased in the higher soil organic carbon content in the Netherlands. Wheat, again, conventional tillage and no tillage. They seem, obviously, wheat has more less stubbles, and so it did not gain as much soil organic carbon as it did in the maize residues under no tillage. And so the example of Argentina, increasing variability as function of temperature and the decrease in soil carbon accumulation. Inorganic nitrogen, same story. Again, there's a couple of models that pull everything apart, and there's a very large uncertainties in some sites, leaving obviously an unrealistic amount of nitrogen at the end of the season. So there's quite a bit of work to do there to understand more. I just report these two slides more. Soil water, which is exactly what we thought initially with the first slides that I showed, it's depending on what you leave at the end of the season or you start with, that will really affect, you know, the continuous of the simulation. So that underlines the importance of having, you know, these rotational type of runs where, you know, you account for what, you know, you leave behind. So soil water ranged, it was pretty low range of, you know, variability within the baseline or colder temperature. And as temperature increased, and then there was a large spread among the models and as well as the sites. So similar story for the wheat in the Netherlands. So the study is really big. I mean, we have a lot of data, and I just wanted to give you a quick glance of where we're heading with this study. So the model showed variability, obviously large at times, with pretty much all the variables. When temperature increased, models on average indicated a decline. They were consistent on that, but we lost the plot as temperature increased more. Just briefly, as future, where are we going next? I've identified 4 to 5 sites that have long-term data that we're going to test the model against these continuous runs US with different rotations, including different crops, US, Argentina, Italy, Rothamsted, and Senegal. And I think the key is not just, you know, basically stay passive and saying, okay, there is a large variation, but trying to understand what drives, as we are doing for the other pilot studies, trying to improve these models in the compartments that I think will play the most important role for climate change, which is soil. I thank you much indeed for your attention.